Good to see you all. Oh, that was awesome, wasn't it? Hey, can I get you to all stand with me? Would you do that for me? Because we are going to read the Word of God together tonight. And you know I love doing this. I love standing when we read the Word of God. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles, that's totally cool because we're going to have a message Bible up on the screen here. And let's all read along. In fact, how about we put the scriptures up on the screen if we can, guys. So Mark chapter 1, and we're going to start from verse 35. Here we go. Can we all read together? Here we go. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Next verse. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that your word is alive and it is active. And right now we just choose to open up our hearts to receive afresh from you. Heaven is open and we are going to receive from you tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I reckon there's a couple of funny verses in there. Can I say where I reckon they're a little funny? If you look at verse 37 again, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Hey, Jesus, everyone is looking for you." And then in 38, the first thing that Jesus says is, "Let us go somewhere else." Now, I don't know if that speaks to anyone else, but it speaks to me. "Hey, Jacob, everyone wants a piece of you. Everyone's looking for me. I'm going over here." Now, of course, that's not Jesus' intention, okay? It's not his intention. The disciples got it wrong, and Jesus was teaching them something in that moment. You see, the disciples were saying, "Hey, Jesus, we had such a successful day yesterday with ministry that the people want you to come back and do it again, preach again, heal again." And Jesus, with so much wisdom, said, "You know what? This is my life's mandate. I'm here to preach, to teach, and to heal throughout the whole region here of Galilee." It says it in Matthew chapter 4 that he is to teach in their synagogues, to preach the good news of the kingdom, and to heal the sick. We know that verse. So Jesus knew what his life's mandate was. He wasn't there for popularity. He wasn't there for fame. He wasn't for increased Twitter followers from doing something a day before. He was there to spread the good news of the gospel. And then at the end of verse 38, he says this awesome phrase. He says, "That is why I have come, to preach, to teach, and to heal. That is why I have come." And if you're taking notes tonight, that's the title of our message. That is why I have come. And in particular, we're going to be focusing on that third thing, healing. Healing. Jesus came to heal. I'm just going to read verses 40 to 42 again, because we're going to be focusing on this story of Jesus coming and healing or cleansing the leper. Let me read this out again. It says, "A man with leprosy came to him," came to Jesus, "and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured." Now, church, leprosy is not something that we see every day here in Australia. In fact, I've never seen someone with leprosy living in Melbourne, Australia. So it's very easy for us to read the Bible and we say, okay, yeah, this man had leprosy, but what actually is leprosy? It's funny you ask. Let me tell you what it is. You see, leprosy, we automatically think is this skin disease. It is a skin disease, but it's far more, and it's more horrible than just that. In fact, it's a systemic disease that runs ragged throughout the whole body. Let me read this out to you. So leprosy begins with small spots on the skin that are red. Over time, these spots get bigger and they turn white, and they form a scaly appearance that can cover the whole body. Then, once that has happened, your hair on your head begins to fall out. Then your fingernails and your toenails get loose and eventually fall off. Anyone got a weak stomach here tonight? We're just getting started. Then the joints of your fingers and your toes begin to rot. And over time, your fingers and toes fall off piece by piece by piece. Then your gums in your mouth start to shrink until you can't hold your teeth anymore. And then this disease continues to eat away at your face. So literally your nose, your palate, and your eyes start to rot out of your head. And you basically continue to waste away, waste away, waste away until you die. That is a horrible disease right there. And it's interesting, in Luke chapter 5, it says that this man was advanced in leprosy. So it wasn't just the start, maybe a few spots on the skin. He was way down the track somewhere. This guy was riddled with leprosy. So what did he look like? You can just imagine it for a minute. Jesus is here, a whole group of people. This man looking like that comes to Jesus. What did he look like? Again, it's funny you ask. Let's have a look at what his hands may have looked like. White, scaly skin. Let's have a look at then over time what his fingers may have looked like. He's starting to lose his fingers. And then maybe this is something what his face looked like. A man, that's an old man with leprosy right there. Notice these stubs of his hands. You can take that down. Now, I must say that they are some tame images that I found online. If you want to see leprosy in full force, you can do that yourself. But this is a horrible, horrible disease. And that's just the physical appearance. Let me keep reading. How would society have treated you at the time if you had leprosy? You see, leprosy was seen to be the physical outworking of sin in your life, and this was God's way of punishing you. You were considered the living dead, meaning that you were already dead in people's eyes when they looked at you. Imagine that. You were already dead when people looked at you. If you were around clean people, you had to call out in a loud voice, unclean, unclean, everywhere you went to warn off people around you. You had to live outside the town in a leper colony, generally the city rubbish dump. Jewish custom demanded that people stay at least 6 feet away from you at all times. Every single day of your life, you were ridiculed, you were mocked, you were spat at, and you had rocks thrown at you. This guy was living a horrible existence. You can imagine what the situation was like when he came and fell at the feet of Jesus. Now, what caused him to do that? He was horrific on the outside, yet he had something that was burning on the inside of him. He had some passion, he had some fervor that just suggested to him that maybe, 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 if I just get myself to the feet of this Jesus that I hear people talking about, maybe my life can be radically transformed. Maybe, maybe. You see, the thing that was alive on the inside of this man was a thing we called faith. Faith. Whoa, faith. If only we had faith like this leper. Faith. So what can we learn from this story of this man who looked horrible on the outside, yet had something bubbling away on the inside called faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, in the New Living Translation, you know this faith is the reality of what we hope for and the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith. How's our faith? Are we strengthening our faith in our own lives? Let me talk to you about four different areas of this man's faith. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one, I believe that the leper's faith drove him to position himself before Jesus. If you've got your Bibles, look at verse 40 again. It says, he came to Jesus and begged him on his knees. Now, we've established what this guy looks like. We've established that he doesn't belong in a gathering. Just picture it for a minute. How many people are gathering around Jesus at this moment? Is there tens? Is there hundreds? Is there thousands? Then this leper guy comes in to the front and falls down, positions himself at the feet of Jesus. There's something in that, church, positioning ourselves at the feet of Jesus. You know, when I was younger, I played a lot of tennis. Any tennis players in the room? Love your tennis. I used to love it as a teenager. My dad's a school teacher, but on the weekends, on Saturdays, he transformed into a tennis coach. So every single Saturday morning, I'd be out there helping Dad teach tennis, and then in the afternoon, I'd go off and play a match myself. I love tennis so much so, actually, that at the age of 13, I became a ball kid, a ball boy at the Australian Open, and that was awesome. I did that for 2 years, and then I was too old, and I had to go, and I worked in different departments at Tennis Australia, and I actually worked for the tennis for about 12 years doing various jobs, and I loved it. It was the perfect school summer job or uni summer job. So I grew up playing a lot of tennis. Unfortunately, now I can barely hit the ball, but that's okay. Back in the glory days, I used to be able to hit the ball. But tennis players will know this, that you have to work a lot on your positioning around the court. Let me explain, especially when your opponent is serving down the serve, okay? So if you're getting ready to receive that serve. Now, there's no point positioning yourself all the way out here in the tram lines if your opponent's just been bombing aces down the tee all day long. You might be trying to run around your forehand, but it's no good because you're going to miss it. You've got to position yourself to be ready to receive the ball. Now, church, go with me on this. If Jesus is serving down mercy, if he is serving down opportunities, if he is serving down peace or hope or favor or blessing, whatever Jesus is serving down, come on, go with me. Where are we positioning ourselves? Are we way over here and Jesus is doing something over here? Where are we positioning ourselves? Now, I understand that I'm preaching to the converted tonight because I fully believe that one of the best ways we can position ourselves at the feet of Jesus is to be in church every single weekend. Amen. God's going to do something in your life if you're just faithfully consistent in coming along every Saturday night, every Sunday morning. Gathering with like-minded believers. You're doing something to position yourself to receive from Jesus. That's on the weekend. What about midweek? What are we doing? Christians, come on, what are we doing? Day by day by day. This is a daily thing to position ourselves to receive from Jesus. No one can help you do that. You've got to choose to do that every day. Positioning yourself. That's called faith. And that's what the leper did. So we can learn something tonight from this leper. So number one, the leper's faith drove him to position himself before Jesus. Number two, the leper's faith drove him to believe that he could be cleansed. He believed that he could be cleansed. Verse 40 again, it says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice that he never questioned if Jesus could heal him because he says, if you are willing, Jesus. He doesn't say, if you are able, because he knew that Jesus was able. If you are willing. If you are willing, if you are willing, if you are willing. It's funny, yesterday Camille asked me a question very similar to this, but actually not very similar at all, but I'm going to tell you a story. I had the word willing in it. Just go with me, it's okay. So yesterday, Friday, my day off, her day off. She says this question to me. Are you willing to go shopping with me at DFO? Whoa, now. That is a big question, ladies. In fact, not ladies. That is a big question, gentlemen of the house. Are you willing to go that word shopping with me to DFO? Now, can I just speak to the men of the house for a minute? The men. We got any men? Wow. Now, I don't know if anyone gets like this, but that word, shopping, it instantly does something on the inside of us. You see, I was quite calm. I was having a day off. I was having a great day. Shopping, boom, stress, anxiety, nervousness in half a second. Now, men, you realize that this word shopping does crazy things. You know, like, men, we know how we're wired up here, amen? We know how our emotions and our feelings work. Females don't, but that's okay because I'm talking to the men right now. We know what goes on top here. Now, our default to that word shopping, if we get asked the question, would you like to go shopping? Our default is no. Amen. Well done.
Real men.
No, we don't want to go shopping. Now, gentlemen, let me ask you another question. What was my response yesterday? Yes, very good. You see, Camille, I love you, baby. Of course I'm willing to go shopping with you at DFO. I mean, it's just my day off. It's my Sabbath. I actually can't think of anything better to do than walk around a shopping center with you and a three-month-old baby who doesn't yet know how to sit in a pram quietly, because that's going to be so relaxing. I love you so much. Please, can we do this more often? I didn't actually say that. I kind of embellished that a little bit, but that's what I was thinking on the inside. So what did we do yesterday? We went shopping. I was willing to go. Actually, I'm making a big deal of it, but the good thing, this is for free, the good thing with a three-month-old baby is that you go in and it's just a snatch and grab mission. There's none of this browsing around. It's like one store, bang, let's go. Next store, bang, let's go. It was quick. Thank you, Jesus. I was willing. I actually scored a pair of jeans out of it, so it was good. I was willing. Jesus was willing. The leper already knew that he was able. He just asked, Jesus, are you willing? And he was. Church, where's our faith at? Do we know that we know that we know that God is able? That God is able, we don't even have to think about it, that he is able to bring that financial breakthrough that you need in your business right now. He's able. Do we know that God is able to bring that emotional support that we are craving in our lives because it feels like we're just empty? He is able to do that if you let him come in. Do we know that Jesus is able to reignite that fire that we once had for him, if you let him? He is able. Amen? So number two, the leper's faith drove him to believe. We got to believe that he could be cleansed. Number three, we going all right? Yeah. Number three, the leper's faith drove him to fix his attention on Jesus alone. His faith drew him to fix his attention on Jesus alone. You know, what we fix our attention to is so important. So important. Little Archer, this three-month-old baby I'm talking about, he's found the TV, all right? Now, mum and dad aren't letting him watch the TV, but he's trying to fix his attention onto the TV. And any second he knows where the TV is in the lounge room. He's a smart little man. He knows where the TV is, and he will be willing to sort of contort his body into a pretzel if it means just catching a slight glimpse of the TV. He wants to fix his attention on the TV at the moment. What are we fixing our attention onto? You know, notice in this story, go with me here, that this leper was so fixed on Jesus that he didn't look at the disciples. What were the disciples doing at the moment? He didn't fix his attention on the rest of the crowd, however many people were there. In that moment, he didn't fix his attention on medicine. He fixed his attention to Jesus. I've got to tell you this. Church, we've got to be so careful that we don't fix our attention on the person sitting to our right and the person on our left. Church, we've got to stop comparing ourselves to that person and run the race marked out for us. Come on, I've got to teach into this quickly. There's an epidemic, I don't know if that's the right word, but there's something going on in society, in our culture of today. It's called comparison, and it's killing us. It's killing us. You know, we've bought into this lie that suggests that the grass is greener on the other side. Can I tell you, the grass is not greener. We've got to get to the stage. Paul says something so profound in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know this verse. He says, "Your grace is sufficient for me." Can we say that? Lord, the grace that you have given me into my life is sufficient for me. You know, every single one of us contains unique grace. That's why it says, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's verse 7, he says that grace has been given to all. All of us have received grace if Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Okay, so grace is given to all. And it says something here. It says, as Christ apportioned it. What does that mean? That means that the grace that you have been given is different to the grace that I have been given. Don't try and take my grace. It's my grace. You got your own grace. When Jesus came into your life, when you call yourself now a born again Christian, you receive this incredible gift of grace that is unique to you. Grace that is destining you to live out the desires of your life in proportion to the race that he wants you to run. Every one of us has got different grace. Don't compare it with that person or that person. Because if you do, you're going to be dissatisfied with life. You're going to be envious in life. You're going to be jealous through life. You're going to be resentful over time. Camille, my wife, says, I love when she preaches on this line. She says, you know what we are called to do is just stay in our own lane. Picture it as a running race. If you veer out of your lane, go into his lane or his lane, you're actually disqualified. You got to stay in your lane. Fix your attention on Jesus. Don't compare yourself. Don't try and keep up with the Joneses. It's not worth it. The grace, come on, your grace is sufficient. You got to believe that you got grace specifically designed. I know I'm laboring this point, but someone has to hear this tonight, that the grace that Jesus has deposited into your life is sufficient for you to live out your destiny in him. Amen? Amen. We fix our attention on Jesus. Every part of our being, just like the leper, he turned his gaze, he turned his eyes, he turned his affection, attention, every cell, his entire body fixated on the person of Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Would you sing it with me? Turn your eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your...
Come on, let's stand together and worship him tonight.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart.
Yeah.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me, and I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord, I exalt.
Sing it one more time. I exalt.
I exalt thee.
Yes, we do.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh,
we thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are real, that your presence is real. We're just positioning ourselves right now. Lord, I thank you for the work that you are doing in people right now. Thank you for the testimonies, the fruit. And we just seal everything you've done and are doing in the precious name of Jesus. What an honor it is for us to just come just as we are and stand in the presence of the Almighty God. We love you, Jesus. As we fix our attention on you, Jesus, as we stir up our faith, that's when the natural meets the supernatural. God is looking for opportunities to bless us. But he's not going to move where he's not invited. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you. We declare that you are so welcome here. We give you full reign to do what you want to do. We declare that not our will, but yours be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. We position ourselves, we believe that you are able, and we fix our attention on you. And if you just remain standing for a moment longer, church, the fourth thing that the leper's faith drove him to was his reward. Verse 41 says that Jesus, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Just every eye closed and head bowed for one moment longer. Lord God, we just ask you to help every single one of us to have faith like this leper does in everyday situations. Lord, recharge our faith muscles. Lord, allow us to believe that you are enough, that you are able, as we put our faith and trust in you alone. And Lord, I do pray that in the midst of all the distractions that this world so readily throws our way, that you will help us to fix our attention on you and you alone. We thank you, Lord. Now, I know that the majority of us in this room would say that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, but I obviously don't know everyone in the room. There might be one, two, a couple people who, just standing here in the presence of God, you say that, you know what, I need this. I need Jesus in my life. I need him to be my Savior and my Lord. Every single one of us is going to pray a prayer right now. And if you would like Jesus to come into your life, would you pray this prayer with us? Believe from your heart. And from this very moment, Jesus will live in you. So church, how about we just pray this prayer together? Repeat after me. God, I thank you for sending Jesus. I believe that Jesus, you died on the cross and took away my sins. I believe that you rose again and that I rose with you. Jesus, I ask you now to come into my life, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Jesus, fill me with your presence and your Holy Spirit. Let me live for you all the days of my life. I will love you. I will worship you. I will praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give you some praise in this room? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we lift up your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. There is none like you, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Lord Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We praise you, Lord God. We choose to lift our voice in victory to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we have triumph because you overcame the grave, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And we choose to praise you in this very moment. You deserve all our praise. You deserve all of our worship. You alone are holy. You alone are worthy, Lord God. We lift you up in your sanctuary tonight, and we choose to praise you, the name above all names, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 God touched a lot of people here tonight. I love it. Awesome.